This weekend, our colleagues at the NPR show Latino USA have a special episode all about baseball and the past, present, and future of the Latin American influence on the sport. We're pleased to bring you a segment from that program here on Only a Game. Latino USA producers Michael Simon Johnson and Daisy Rosario share the history of how Latin American players blurred the color line while Major League Baseball was still segregated.
We're standing right now on a map of the Caribbean.
So recently, I took a trip with another producer, Daisy Rosario.
An awesome trip to Cooperstown, New York, home of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. I've always wanted to go.
At the Hall of Fame Museum, we met John O'Dell, the curator of history and research.
He showed us a new exhibit called Viva Baseball, which chronicles the history of the game throughout Latin America.
Like we said, baseball's popularity in Latin America begins with Cuba.
The Cubans ended up taking baseball with them throughout the Caribbean, wherever they went.
To the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Mexico, Panama.
But now we get to the ugly history of Latino players coming here, to the U.S. So while Cuba brought the sport to parts of Latin America, the United States was going through the process of taking this very popular leisurely activity and turning it into a business.
Like much of American life at the time, the game is segregated.
We're talking about baseball's infamous color line.
The invisible line that divided the white major leagues from the Negro leagues.
People thought that white audiences would never accept a black player, so no matter how talented they might be, black players weren't allowed on white teams.
I reached out to Adrian Burgos, a professor at the University of Illinois who's written a number of books on the history of baseball.
Baseball's color line operated from 1889 to 1946.
And before Jackie Robinson famously broke the color line,
we had 53 Latin American and U.S.-born Latinos that participated in the major leagues.
A small number of Latinos were bending it.
There was the split of, if you were a darker-skinned Latin player, you wouldn't be signed by a major league team. You'd be signed by a Negro Leagues team. If you were lighter-skinned, you'd be signed by a major league team.
Just like today, Latinos 100 years ago came in every shade. So this process of being split up was a very strange experience for the Latin American players.
The professional baseball in Latin America was always integrated. They did not have a color line.
Many Latin American players were coming to the U.S., and the vast majority were Afro-Latinos, so they played in the Negro Leagues.
We can say about 10 to 15% of the Negro Leagues were Latino players.
And it went the other way, too. The African-American players who weren't allowed in the majors would often go to foreign leagues in the offseason, to Mexico or Cuba, and play in integrated leagues with players of all different colors, something they couldn't do in their own country.
Yeah, it's a lot like maybe the history you've heard about where black American jazz musicians went to Paris.
So the light-skinned Latin American players obviously had it much easier once they came here, although they had to go through the unusual process of being racialized. Because they were, say, Cuban, the fear was that even if they didn't look black, they might still have African blood in them, and that just wouldn't do. But talent was talent, so managers who wanted to acquire these players simply changed the language around how the players were presented.
They were presented to the baseball public as, he's not black, he's Cuban. He's not black, he's Puerto Rican.
Early on, both players and managers recognized how flexible the color line was when it came to Latinos, and they tried their best to take advantage of it. Take the New York Cuban Giants, a team made up entirely of African Americans who, legend has it, would speak gibberish to each other on the field in the hopes of convincing crowds that they weren't black, but rather Cuban.
Then there's the story of the manager who plotted to send black players down to Cuba, have them learn Spanish, and then bring them back up and try to pass them off as authentically Latino. Stories like these were actually a big part of the Viva Baseball exhibit at the Hall of Fame.
Let me show you real quickly a document that is one of my favorites here in the entire museum.
John O'Dell told us about two talented Cuban pitchers, Rafael Almeida and Armando Marsans, who were being eyed by the Cincinnati Reds in 1910. The question, of course, was,
are these guys dark Latin players or are they white Latin players? The Cincinnati Reds sent a scout down to Cuba, and here's what he said.
John read to us from a scan of the original document.
I know personally both parents of our great ball players, Marsans and Almeida, and guarantee that none of them have any other but pure Caucasian blood in their veins. Their claims to the members of the white race is as good as yours and mine. Signed, Victor Munoz.
Oh, my God.
It was just...
It's just so open.
It's so official. It's so part of the business, the system of it.
This, argues Adrian Burgos, is where it all comes back to money. Because those two players, whose Caucasian blood was verified, Marsans and Almeida, once they had played a few seasons with Cincinnati, they started asking for higher pay.
One of the team officials of the Cincinnati Reds, while this contract holdout is taking place, informs the press that we did not hire a pair of bronze-skinned Islanders to pay them Honus Wagner money.
Translation, white money. Honus Wagner was a major league superstar in his day.
The essence of that statement was they'd want that talent, but they don't necessarily want to pay it the equivalent of what the white American players were receiving.
That story was reported by Michael Simon Johnson and Daisy Rosario from the NPR program Latino USA. This weekend, the program is presenting a special episode all about baseball. To hear it, visit latinousa.org or download their podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Or for a link to the show and to our own stories and interviews about Latinos in baseball, visit onlyagame.org.